Here we go. One, two, three, oh. Clap those hands, everybody. Come on. Clap those hands, everybody. Come on.
Pull me over. You're pulling me close. With love you surround me. You give me hope. Yeah, yeah. You're taking me deeper. You're making me whole. With grace you redeem me. You give my stone.
Here we go.
Now I'm made new because of you.
Yeah, you hold my head up. You remind me who I am. You hold my head up. I'm alive in you again. I'm made
more.
You're making me stronger. You're healing my heart. With the friends you owe me, you set me apart.
Glory, glory, glory to our King.
To the Lamb
Come on, cut those hands double time like this, cut those hands double time like this, This might be too much for some of y'all, but you've been through hell this week, and you came out victorious. We got this song. Sing a new song to the King, he said.
Sing a new song
to the Lamb who was slain for my reason. Here we go, take it out. We cry, there to some of y'all to say, is your praise real? There's a scripture I do believe that says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be in my mouth. Is there a praise in the mouth of the believers today? If you could, I know this is very invasive to some people and abrasive to others when you invade their privacy, but could you just hunch someone very lightly and says, I'm glad to be alive. I'm just glad to be alive. Come on, tell him. I know, listen, you can be up under the ground. I'm glad to be alive. If you're watching me by radio, I say by radio, by TV, I'm glad to be alive. We're going to say it one more time. If you're out there, you're sitting on your couch and you're drinking coffee, just clap your hands and put the coffee down. Like this. Clap your hands and put the coffee down. And we're going to say this. You won! There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're my living hope. Your presence alone. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is done. Your presence, Lord, If you know it, say it. Holy Spirit, you unison. God is what I love.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for.
Hallelujah.
To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Presence, Lord.
Your presence,
that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're my living hope. You're my living hope. Your presence, Lord. Presence, Lord. Many things that we've tried over the time of our lives, but I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves. God, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. It's a brand new year. I need more of your presence, Lord. So we say together, split it up. Shit, come on. Body say it. Come on. Let us become. To who? Let us become more aware. God, we want to be aware. Come on, say it. And we say,
let us become
in 2017
more aware
of what?
Of your presence.
Let us experience.
Let us experience the glory of
go your full throttle. Split it up, say,
let us become more aware of your presence.
Let us experience.
Hallelujah. I just sense in my spirit this morning that there are many going through different trials and tribulations. And you're trying to handle it on your own. And the Holy Spirit says that in and of yourself, you don't have the capability and keep your joy if you handle it yourself. That's what this song was all about. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You see, when you're in the midst of that trial, that trouble, that there doesn't seem to be any way that you're going to be able to come out victorious in your own heart and mind, the Holy Spirit will carry you. See, this is why we must learn to foster the presence of God. Because it's not here on a Sunday morning that we need to learn how to foster it. This is where we learn, but you learn how to do it at home. You learn how to do it in the midst of that fire, man, when your feet feel like they're getting all burned up. I want you to know that God will carry you in those moments. But you've got to learn how to foster the presence of the Holy Spirit. See, it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. So with all of your doing, all you're going to do is remain frustrated. In all you're doing, you're going to remain discouraged. In all you're doing, you're going to actually at times question God, where are you? And God is saying to you this morning, if you'll learn to rest in my everlasting arms, even in the midst of that storm, when nobody can understand, you'll always remain in peace. When you got peace, remember when Jesus, that storm hit the boat? It was violent. Violent enough to scare professional fishermen. But yet, where did Jesus? He was at the front of the boat taking a nap. Why? Because in the middle of the storm, when you know the presence of God is with you, there is no place for fear. You don't have to struggle. You don't have to strive. You can rest in the everlasting arms of God. And so I want to encourage you. I know we got another worship song to do. I want you to do this. Some of you got problems. Some of you got issues. Some of you are carrying loads that are just way too heavy for you. You're actually starting to slide into a depression, and God is grabbing you this morning. What I want you to do is I want you to come to the altar, and I want you to place it right here on the altar. Now, I don't know what it is that, I mean, you could just figuratively place it on the altar. You could actually write it on a piece of paper, fold it up, put it on the altar. But I want you to leave it at the altar and allow God to work for you and through you in that situation. Amen? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Pastor, can we just finish the tail of that and then go right into the next worship song? Come on, talk to the Holy Spirit.
Come from this place.
Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be
Spirit. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down.
Shaking up.
We want to see a kingdom here.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We want to see a kingdom here. We want to see a kingdom. Inside of me, there's a revival under my wings. There's a revival speaking to me, a great revival that will heal the sick. A great revival that will change their minds. A great revival that will be here. A great revival is in me. A great revival speaking to me. A great revival I can see. A great revival that will be here. Lift your hands real quickly. Lift your hands all over this building. Father, now in Jesus' name, your word can never return back to you void. Your word cannot come back to you and says it could not happen. For what you speak shall take place. Revival is not to build our church bigger, but it's to touch this place. Every place our feet are trotting, we're taking revival. Some people drive an hour to get here. We're taking revival there. Father, I feel you, not because I have the mic. I understand when you're speaking. Set it off now. More souls than ever this year. Set it off now. More lives changed. Set it off now. We receive it now. For those of you, and I'm speaking in the prophetic, for those of you who are coming late, make sure you hear today. I'm warning you, do not continue to show up late to your church. For you will find yourself in the lobby or in an overflow room. I will speak the word of the Lord as he's declared unto me. Regardless of what we see and what we endure, there's a geyser in this place that's coming up out of the earth. Hallelujah. There's a geyser that's coming up out of the earth, and it has living water. They will come for the living water. They will come from all four corners in this area. Prepare yourself for the move of God. Make room for the harvest. In the name of Jesus, I need someone to worship on that right there. Come on.
Hallelujah. I hope you're ready. This is the year of generosity, and God is going to be generous with souls. This is the end time harvest. For many years, people have been saying, these are the end times, these are the end times, these are the end times. And actually, Peter talks about that. He says, there will be many scoffers that will say, hasn't it always been this way? And they've always been saying Jesus is coming. Absolutely. There will be scoffers. But when you look at the signs of the time today, Jesus can come back. And the harvest is ready. God is raising up in these last days a people whose heart is after him more than the world. And it is amazing because those folks are going to accelerate in everything they touch and they do. Remember one time I had a preacher. We were in the midst of an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Newfield. And I had a preacher take me out to breakfast one time, and he sat down. He took me out actually once a month. He sat down and he said, I'll pay for this. Every month he paid for it. And finally I just said to him, why are you doing this? He said, Spencer, I'm watching you. He says, it looks like a move of God. It looks like what God is doing. It's powerful. It looks really powerful. He said, but I just want to make sure that it's God. And I said, brother, you better stop looking, and you better start getting involved, because God doesn't wait for anybody. And there's folks that I believe that are in this room. You've been saved for many, many years. You love the Lord. But yet you've taken back a lot of reins from God. You no longer pray like you used to. You no longer are involved in ministry like you used to. And what's going to happen is, what you've been praying for all these years, especially when you were fervent and young, you're going to watch it pass you, because you're now being distracted by things of the world. And I challenge you, get back on target, get back in focus, get back with clarity. My life is God's. And Jesus, I surrender it 100%. So that you can get glory out of my life. Amen. So I know everybody in this room, we all have life. Amen. We all have life. How many of your life is busy? Well, not enough. How many of your life is busy? How many of your life sometimes is actually even, oh my goodness, it's all miscombobulated. What a great word. I want you to recognize this. This is the season, and this is the time to get back into the presence of the Lord and get untangled. There's a snare that so easily besets so many. Get focused, because you're going to see God do things. It's called, the word in Greek is called metatata, which means time moves faster than normal. So time is there, but time is moving quicker. Now, anybody who's more mature has recognized that time seems to go quicker. Can I hear an amen or oh my? But what's amazing with metatata in the Greek, that means time is going to go so quick, yet it will keep its normal hourly pace. But everything will move so fast, and some people will be left behind. And I'm not talking left behind in the aspect of not going to heaven. You'll be left behind looking at the move of God from behind. Stay tight. This is a great season, amen? We're blessed to be part of God's kingdom right now. It's the greatest time in the history of mankind. Even when Jesus walked on the planet, this is the greatest time in history to be alive in the church. We are going to see some amazing things, because God loves people, amen? Can you turn to five or six people and say, God loves people? On your way back to your chair, make sure you introduce yourself to somebody you don't know. Please don't be a snob in this house. Say, good morning. God loves people.
Good to see you again. Do you know what you want to get? Do you need a menu?
Oh, you should know what I want by now.
It's very true. All right, let me go put the order in and I'll be right back, okay?
Yeah. Well, happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Brought you to your favorite place on your favorite day.
Again. Again. You know, the kids knew we were coming here.
Oh, look at that.
Again.
Look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
Well, the shrubbery here is quite nice.
You know, Melanie's husband takes her to a different restaurant every year. What?
Huh?
You know, it's really, really sad that I have to look to another couple for an example of what a marriage should be, okay?
My gosh. I knew I shouldn't have drank all that water because now I gotta use the bathroom. But see, if I get up, she's going to be even more upset. I need something to distract her. Maybe like a show or something. Wait, didn't Nick have that goings on and nonsense?
Valentine's Day plans, Uproar has you covered. February 10th at 6:30 p.m. and it's a black tie affair, so make sure you dress to impress. Tickets will be on sale in the foyer. Bring your spouse, bring a friend, and come enjoy the Uproar talent show.
I'm so excited that you're all joining Next Steps and strengthening your walk with Christ. Our next Step 2 class starts on January 10th. It runs for 8 straight weeks on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8. This is an amazing class where we learn about how our faith relates to our finances. Sign up today at the Hub or go online, histabernacle.com, and sign up.
Good news, starting on January 15th, if you're in 7th to 9th grade, you're going to have your own service. Food, games, and a message. Second service starting January 15th. For more details, you can email us at youth@histabernacle.com or inbox us at UproarHD.
Was great, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Awesome. Amen. I am so excited this morning to be before you. Good morning, His Tabernacle. I can't hear you. Good morning, His Tabernacle. I'm here to welcome you, but also to welcome all of our guests. So if you are a guest here at His Tabernacle, would you raise your hand, if you can raise your hand? Any guests here in the house this morning? Okay, don't be ashamed. I see one. No, you're not a guest. Anybody here? And if we do have a guest here, we're so excited because if you raise your hand, you'll receive a gift packet. And in that gift packet will be a little ticket to a gift reception. And if you invited a guest, how many people invited a guest who's here? Okay, you too are to come to the reception that will be right here in the hallway at the guest reception as well. Now, even though we look around and we say, okay, we don't have that many guests today, each of you are here. So we're so excited and thankful that you're here. So I want you to look at the neighbor on the left and the right, even if you came with them, and say, good morning. I'm so glad that you are here. Amen. I'm so glad you're here this morning. Amen. We also want to welcome our live stream audience. So look around at the cameras. I don't know if they can see us if we wave at them, but let's wave at our live stream audience and say, hey, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Amen. You're a part of our His Tabernacle family, too. And we are so honored and blessed. No matter where you are, here in the nation or even across the globe, we have folks who are with us in live stream. So we welcome you this morning. Also, you saw as a reminder on the announcements, next steps. Now, we are so excited because we just finished up our week of fasting and prayer. How many people were involved in First Fruits? Yay! So keep your hands raised. And we're so excited because God just poured out so mightily. And we want to thank each of you who were involved, who were praying, who were fasting. And even though First Fruits and fasting and prayer have sort of put a pause, we want to encourage you to live a fasted lifestyle. So continue because God wants to pour out His blessings supernaturally on you this year. So look at your neighbor on the right and say, supernatural. Because we're a generous church, right? Right, amen. And so also want to remind you, we do have Next Steps, the Faith and Finances class. Please sign up for that. That starts on January the 10th. And you can sign up right on the His Tabernacle website. And also, as you noted in the announcements, the Uproar Talent Show, February 10th. After that announcement, I wouldn't want to miss that, okay? Amen. So make sure you're involved. And Rock Solid Faith. Say Rock Solid Faith. We're having a graduation, so let's give God praise and glory for those graduates. A lot of times we start stuff in the body of Christ, but it is so awesome to finish. Who's going to be finishing Rock Solid Faith? Who's graduating? So look around at those folks and make sure you congratulate them. Graduation is February the 12th. And then last but not at all least, we'd like to have Pastor Rhonda come up because she has, I think, the best announcement of the whole day, and that's about our offering. Amen? Pastor Spencer, okay. Pastor Spencer gets to do it. Amen.
Thank you. You can have that one.
Okay, thank you.
How many of you are AARP of age? Well, glory to God. Tomorrow morning you have breakfast at the crack. At Cracker Barrel at 9 of a.m., we'd encourage you, if you're 50 years or older, I now qualify. I used to go anyways, but now I actually qualify. So if you'd like to come to breakfast, it's a great time of fellowship. We have up to 25, 30 people at times in the Cracker Barrel, at the crack, and have a phenomenal breakfast. We'd love to have you there with us tomorrow morning. How many of you are excited about giving this morning? I'm always excited about giving because I know the principles of God. God's word is always true. I know God's word. is always true. Listen, if you believe in salvation, then you believe in giving. This is the year of. One of the things you're going to hear in one of the messages is this. There is a difference between giving and generosity. When we bring our tithe to the Lord, we're not giving our tithe to the Lord. We're returning our tithe to the Lord. Turn to someone and say, I'm returning what's not mining. Amen. See, that's tithing. Tithing is I'm giving back what's not mine. The Bible says that he's given us 90% to be good stewards with, and 10% God has given us the responsibility to give back to him in his house. Now, some people say, well, why do we have to give it to the church? Why can't I just take it and throw it up in the air, and if God takes it, then it's his, and if he lets it drop to the ground, then it's mine. The reason is God's plan for giving is that his house would have more than enough. And you know, we do so many outreaches last year. I'm waiting for the final reports. But the year before, we gave, I believe, $260,000 to $280,000 out of our budget to people to bless them, whether that's missions, home missions, foreign missions, people that have needs, people that need electric bills, people that are struggling. This church is a tremendous, generous church. I want to remind you what generosity is. Generosity is giving beyond what's expected. And you are phenomenal people. Can you turn to someone and say, we are the generous church. Amen. So this morning, I'm just thankful that you are in the flow of being generous, not just giving. Giving is what you're supposed to. Generous is above and beyond. So each week, one of the things that I've always learned, for those who don't know, you never go to someone's house without bringing them a gift. Did you know that? You didn't know that. You should never go to someone's house without bringing something. That's just honor. You should never come to the king's palace without bringing something. Amen? So if you're not a tither yet, at least get into the process of being a giver and honoring the king. Can I hear an amen? But this morning, I know that you're all tithers. I said that in faith. I said, I know that you're all tithers. Amen. So shout it out loud. I'm not just a giver, but I am generous above and beyond so that God's kingdom can grow. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. If you're a guest in the house, what we do with our offering is we actually bring it to the Lord. I believe in your bulletins, there's also a connection card. If you'll fill that out, bring it forward when you come, that'd be awesome. Meet a few people in the offering line as well. Say, well, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Let's make our supernatural proclamation found in the book of Deuteronomy. Shout it out loud. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. Chase me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Come on now. I said I'm a child of God. I'm not just somebody walking on the planet. I'm a child of God. Therefore, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. Make sure you meet somebody. If you're watching by live stream right now, this is your time. Over 100 people, over 100 computers every single week are watching by live stream. And I want to challenge you not just to be a taker, but to be a giver. Not just to be somebody that's just going to watch, but to be somebody who invests. This is a house that costs money every week to be on live stream. We're sowing into you, and it's time for you now to give back to the kingdom of God. So get right on there. There's a button that says give. Make sure you're a sower. Make sure you're generous. You know, I'm believing God that there's actually someone watching by live stream or actually by the television program, His Word TV. God told me over a year ago that $1 million check is going to be coming from somebody that's watching either online or via His Word TV. And if that's you, God spoke to your heart, then make sure you're obedient. $1 million to further the kingdom. We're going to pay this building off so we can get ready to build the next building for the glory of God. I love you. Make sure you're a sower. Make sure that you're a tither. Make sure that you're giving. I love you.
And glory, glory, glory to
Praise God. We're blessed this morning. The first lady of the house has a word from God for you. She doesn't preach often, but when she says to me, I've got something from the Lord for the body, then I obey. Every wise man obeys his wife. Can I hear it? Amen. We do want to share with you a position that we have a responsibility we have available for you as the body of Christ. We are looking for someone to head up the hospitality ministry of His Tabernacle, build a team, and be one that the Bible says to be hospitable. And that is a phenomenal opportunity to be blessed. Why? Because if you give a prophet a glass of water, you get a prophet's reward. So as the person over hospitality, you get to meet, you get to invest, you get to love on, you get to sow into some of the greatest ministries of America that come here and do ministry. So if you're interested in heading up the hospitality ministry, you'll see Pastor Daniel Dykes. Pastor Dan, will you stand up? He's such a handsome man. Hallelujah. He's got such a tremendous chin. You know, I just always impressed with his chin. Let's welcome the First Lady, Pastor Rhonda Spencer.
Amen. God is so generous. He is a great and awesome God. Today, the last week of 2016, God put this in my spirit, and it was during a worship time, and I just wrote it out from God. So I really would like to share with you on my life is not my own. I know we sing about it. Actually, I think that week we were singing that song during worship. We talk about it. My life is not my own. But really making it a reality that my life is not my own. Everything belongs to God. Everything. Our breath, our talents, our abilities, our homes, our cars, our families, our children, our spouses, everything belongs to God. Our businesses, everything belongs to God. And I want to read some scriptures for you. I love the word of God because it's quick and powerful. Acts 17:24 said, God made the world and everything in it. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Not some things, everything. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Hebrews 3:4, every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. You see, you might be the GC, the general contractor, but God is the owner. We are simply the general contractor. And you know, there's some kind of relief in that. We're not the owner. There's so much more responsibility on an owner than there is a GC. The GC doesn't have to worry about the finances or the stuff, or even he has employees that work for him and help him. We are the GC and God is the owner. A GC, general contractor, their desire is to do a good job, to please the owner, right? Every day this happens. If you're in that construction world, this happens every single day in the natural. How much more in the supernatural? How much more in the kingdom of God should we be doing it because we want to please our King? Isaiah 43 says, you are mine. Jeremiah 10:23 says, I know, Lord, that our lives are not our own. So I have an example of a football player. So what are the teams that are going to go to the Super Bowl? Somebody tell me who's going to end up going to the Super Bowl. All right, I hear Patriots loud because the Spencer section is up here. So who's going to the Super Bowl? Okay, somebody tell me the name of a football player that's like the MVP of the year across the teams. All right, you just keep that name in your head. I don't even know. I can't even tell what you're all saying. But what if there was a football player, this football player that you have in your head? He is a player on the team. He's not the owner of that football team. He's a player on the team. Yet every single day he goes out, he uses his body, he uses his gifts, his talents for that owner to do a good job. That's what it's like in the kingdom of God. We're a player on the team. Now, what if this player started acting like they owned the team? You know, they get to wear the jersey, they get to wear the name, but they're doing it all for the team. What if they started acting like, right at this time of year in the playoffs when it's time for Super Bowl, what if they started acting like they own the team? Started telling everybody how to do it and what to do. It doesn't work that way. No matter how gifted or how talented a player is, they are still a player on the team, not the owner. You're a player on God's team. The game, the name, it all belongs to God. You just get to bring your gifts, your talents to the field and bring a win for the owner every day, day after day. People willfully do this all the time in sports, in different arenas. They do it all the time. How much more serious is this in the eternal realm? You are a player on God's team, the best team, the winning team. You're a player. You do it all for the owner, the King of Kings. Everything belongs to God. But you see, he's such a generous God. And this is the year of generosity because we're generous like our Father is generous. So we have to go back to the beginning to see his great generosity and his purpose. If we go back to Genesis in the garden was created for man, and then man was given dominion over all of that. So God created all of this, everything for us, and then he gave us dominion in the garden. It wasn't Adam's. It didn't belong to him. He did not create it. He was just given it to be a steward over. He was entrusted to take care of it. And a steward simply means a manager of someone else's property. Your life is not your own. You're managing God's property. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20 says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." Deuteronomy 8, 17 through 18 says, "Otherwise, you may say in your own heart, 'My power and my strength of my hand has made me wealthy.' But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth." He is such a generous God. Nothing is of yourself. It all comes from God. Your breath, your abilities, your character, your nature, that charisma that you have, all of that comes from God. It is not your own. So this gets us down to our purpose. And everyone in this place has a purpose. Every single one. Genesis 1:28 says, "God blessed them, and then God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, subdue it and rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth.'" This is said again three times in Genesis 9, again in Genesis 35, 11. So from the beginning, he tells every single one of us what our purpose is. Your purpose is to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. He so generously created all of this and then hands it over to you and entrusts you with your gifts and your talents. He puts us in it to enjoy it. And then he told man to be fruitful, multiply, fill it, and subdue it. So be fruitful. Like our verse last year, Psalms 1:3, in the year of kingdom seed, "They are like the trees planted along the riverbanks, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. That is your purpose. Your purpose is to be a fruit producer and to prosper. God's purpose is for you, success for you. God has purposed success, ordained success for every single one of you. So what is fruit? How are we fruitful? Fruit refers to godly character, generosity, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, God's nature and character. That is fruit. And anything that seed can produce is your fruit. Anything that seed can produce is your fruit. Another definition of fruit is others that are won to Christ, that are brought into the kingdom. And this producing a fruit is completely a result of your connection to the vine. If you remain in the vine, you will be continuously producing fruit. It is so important in our purpose that we remain connected to the vine. It says, if you remain in me, I will remain in you, and you will produce fruit. So we are continuously to be producing godly character, winning others for Christ. This is our job, our purpose, why we were put on this earth. We weren't just put here, as Pastor says, to suck air, to earn some money and make some babies. That's not what we were put on. Our purpose was to further the kingdom of God, to produce fruit. We are to be a steward, a manager of everything in this world. So I like to tell my husband, I understand that this is your money. You're the owner of it, but I'm the manager of it. It's such a fun role to be the manager of his money. But in that, I desire to do a good job. I desire to please my husband. I desire for him to have no burden in that. And I love taking that responsibility. We are to take good care of everything for God in that same way. You are a manager of everything for God with that desire to please him. Matthew 25, I'm going to do a synopsis of this. Starting in 14, it talks about the parable of the talents, where he gave one 10 talents and one 5 and another one. And the person with 10 talents went out and he multiplied those talents. He was able to bring back more than what was entrusted to him. And the same with the 5. And then the one was afraid, so he buried his talent. And when the ruler came back, he presented to him the one that he had buried. Now it begins by saying, the kingdom of God is like. So he's giving us an example. He's showing us a map of what our lives are like. The kingdom of God is like a ruler that went away and entrusted everything to his servants. That is what's happened. God has gone away and he has entrusted everything to you and I. He's counting on us. He's reliant on us. Everything's been entrusted to us. And then he's going to come back someday, and we're going to give an account of what we have done with what he has given us. Everyone. No one is exempt for any kind of reason, but this person, but this, you gave me this, you didn't give me this. Nobody is exempt. Everybody is going to stand before him someday with what he has entrusted you with. Your life is not your own. You are managing it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Today is not yours. 2017 is not yours. It's the King of Kings. You are managing it for him, and you are going to stand before him someday. And will you be like the one with 10? And he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And the 5, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or will you be like the one that was afraid and comes back with the one talent? Because I'll read to you what happened in that. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and lazy servant. None of us want to stand before God, and I don't want to stand before God as pastors of this church, of this awesome group of people, and say that I didn't tell you, that I didn't warn you, that you are managing everything that you have for God, and you will stand and give an account for what you have done for the kingdom of God someday. Romans 14:12 says, So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. This isn't my made-up idea. This is the word of God over and over again. 1 Timothy 4:14, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. You see, we function in this world, but we are not of this world. All those gifts and talents that you are given that are applicable to this world, they are spiritual gifts and talents. They are to be used for God's kingdom, to bring him glory, to bring him honor, to please our God with. And 1 Peter 4:10 through 11 says, as each of you, that means every single one, no one exempt, has received a gift, a particular spiritual talent. Employ it for one another. Employ it for one another. That's producing fruit as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace, faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts. And they are extremely diverse. Every single one has been given gifts and talents, and yours aren't the same as somebody next to you. And maybe they are the exact same. Join up with somebody. Join up with a team. Participate with something. God has given every single one of us a gift. And it says in here, we are to employ it as good trustees of God. You have been entrusted with your life. He takes your purpose and stewardship so seriously. It's not a game to him. It's so important. You're important. His kingdom is completely reliant on us, the ones he has left and entrusted everything to. His kingdom is reliant on us. He is returning, and we will have to reconcile each one our own account before God. Not one of us will get away with doing nothing with our lives. Like the man who buried his talent. There's not any excuse that you can come up with in your head. See, the woman with one talent came up with an excuse. That wasn't even truth. He just came up with this idea in his head and presented it to God. Not one of us will be able to stand before God with an excuse. We live in America. How much more to whom more has been given, more is expected. We live in America, the land of opportunity. We are like the person that was given 10 talents. We've been given every opportunity. You know, we see movies on TV and stuff like that with people that have lived on the street and literally had nothing and fought really hard to make something out of our lives. This is America. Not one of us will have an excuse that we didn't have opportunity. This is the land of, there is nothing impossible. There's nothing you can't do, and there's nothing you can't create. No excuse is going to stand for somebody living in a free country, a land of opportunity. You can do anything, no matter if you've been given one talent or you've been given 10. In America, there isn't anything that you can't accomplish. And then when we realize that nothing is ours and we are doing it all for God's glory and kingdom, you then add the supernatural to your life. So not only do we live in America, the land of the free and the land of opportunity, but when you realize why you are doing it, you now add the supernatural power of God. Seriously, there isn't anything you can't do. Now, I'm going to embarrass Tammy right now. I'm sorry. But This is a woman that just wanted to volunteer to do something in the house of God, and her heart was to feed people. This was 3 years ago. 3 years ago it started, and now we have a full ministry of Matthew 25 with so many other people with like gifts and talents that have joined alongside of her and now working in the kingdom of God. Our lives are not our own, and God is so generous. He has entrusted us with his power, everything in the world, and everything that we need for life. Your life is not your own. The King is coming to see what you've done. Have you been fruitful, multiplied, and filled the earth? Everyone is entrusted with the same thing. No one is left out. You are important and you have purpose. It doesn't matter how much good someone else does, it does nothing for your account. You know, we see other people doing stuff in the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, that person with 10 talents, they're killing it. Woohoo, they're doing good. That does nothing for your own account. We all have our own account that we will reconcile with God someday. We can't just stand by seeing everybody else doing it. We have to have our own purpose and fulfill and be fruitful, because we will all stand as individuals before God. Your life is not your own. 2017 is not yours. Today is not yours. It belongs to God, and you are an entrusted steward of it. That's exciting. That's the winning team. You're an entrusted steward player on the winning team, the best team, the eternal team. What a privilege and an honor. I want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." God is going to look at your 2017 and see what you've done with it. Now, the good news is, maybe you've acted like you're the owner and you've done nothing because you didn't know you had purpose. I want to tell you, we're going to stand and give an account for 2016. But the good news is, yesterday's gone and today is brand new. We have fresh opportunity. I so love the parable, the story that God tells in the Bible about the man that hired somebody to work for a wage all day long at early morning, and then more at noontime, and more in the evening, and he offered them all the exact same wage. And then even in the 11th hour, he hired and offered the exact same wage. It is not too late for any of us to recognize and realize our purpose. The most fulfilled you will ever be is when you're serving in God's kingdom, because it's your purpose. I mean, seriously, think back about when you were the happiest and the most fulfilled. It was when you were serving and working in the kingdom of God. It is because it is your design. It's your makeup. It's what your purpose is in this life. We are to be fruitful in God's kingdom. We are to increase it and multiply it. So whatever it is that you can think of to do, maybe you're married, maybe you're a wife. We are called to be a helpmate to our husbands. Maybe it's simply just being the best helpmate that is out there. Maybe you're a discipler. All of us are called to be a discipler. Maybe you're called to own business to finance God's kingdom. Whatever it is that you do, maybe it's landscaping. Maybe it's cleaning. Maybe your gift is cleaning. Some people just have a gift of cleaning. Whatever it is, we're supposed to be fruitful in that and multiply in it. And then we'll be able to say, "God, I produced something with it. Look what I did with what you gave me. And he'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't you just love it when you're doing a project and people just jump in willfully and joyfully? This backdrop this week, man, there were a lot of hands that made this happen. That was tedious, many, many hours. And at the last day, we had a group of people jump in and help. Everybody loved it. It was so fulfilling, and the job got done. It is awesome when people jump in and do things out of a glad heart, out of a joyful heart. That is how we're supposed to be in the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be joyful about it. It's not a chore. This life, it's not a chore. It's an honor. It's a privilege to be participant in God's kingdom. It's the greatest company. It's like every single one of us get to participate with the best company. You have a title. You are the CEO, the COO, the president of a company. Your company, the kingdom of God within you. Every single one of you are the president of your life. You get to manage. You don't get to write the book of how it's done, because that's the owner. But you're the president of the kingdom of God within you. You are the CEO, the COO. You might not have thought you had any kind of title. You have a title. You are the CEO of the kingdom of God within inside of you. Dress like it. Act like it. Be it. You are so, so very important to the kingdom of God. He's entrusted it to you. You're an important person. You have a title. Put your shoulders back. It's an honor. It's very prestigious. You have a very prestigious title and role in the kingdom of God. Every single one. And you will never be as fulfilled as when you work in God's kingdom, when you serve, when you use your gifts, your talents to please him and to glorify him. In his generosity, he has given us his best. He laid down his son's life for us, shed blood for us. He has given us the operation manual. He has given us the Constitution. He has given us authority and dominion and power. He has given us the supernatural. He's not expecting any one of us to bury that. That is not his expectation. His expectation for every single one of you is success. Success in your role in that prestigious title that you have. He's expecting success. He's actually interceding to the Father on your behalf for your success, every single one of us. You have purpose and you have destiny. Your life is not your own. And you know what? There's some kind of relief in that also. You know, you see, this is what I have this conversation with God. This physical body, it's not my own, God. It's yours. So you don't want to work with a broke down piece of equipment. Nothing worse, man. I hate broken equipment. It goes right into the garbage. I don't even bother wasting time on broken equipment. God, this is your equipment. It's not mine. You're the owner. Take care of it. Whatever it is that we have need of, he's the owner. Some kind of relief in knowing that he's the owner. But we have all access into his kingdom and everything that we need for life and godliness. What an honor. What an honor we have to serve him, to be a player on his team. You know, the winners in the Super Bowl, they're going to have such pride and glory that follows them. We're on the winning team. We get that honor of being on his team, to be called his own, to carry his name. We have that honor and privilege. But the king is coming back to reconcile his accounts. And he's going to say to you, what have you done with today? What have you done with 2017 for my kingdom? You see, revival, we sang about this morning. We want to see your kingdom here. His kingdom is here. It's within every single one of us. You've been entrusted. Revival has been entrusted to you. The kingdom of God has been entrusted to you. The kingdom of God is here. Look at this. Probably within this day, there'll probably be 750 people. No, thousands of people that come through this door. The kingdom of God is here. Revival is entrusted inside of every single one of us. Your life is not your own. You can do anything. Whatever gift and talent it is that you have, that's been given to you, that's been entrusted to you, what is it that you love to do? Do it for God's kingdom. Give him glory in it. It could be simple. You could simply be an encourager. Go out and encourage every single person that you meet. Whatever it is that you're good at, is your talent, is your gift, go and do it, because the Father, the King, is coming back and he's going to say, what did you do? Don't say I buried it. Don't say, but because of this, because of that. Don't say that. Let's get busy being stewards of everything in this world and make his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you just imagine if every single one of us really grasped the concept today that our life is not our own and that we do everything that we do to glorify God? Oh my goodness, we will see his kingdom here. We will see revival here if we can really grasp that everything is the Lord. Everything is the Lord's. There's nothing that you have, that you see, that is tangible around you that is yours. It all belongs to God. We are just simply entrusted to it. So I want to take a moment in wrapping up for you to grab a pen and a piece of paper or even your cell phone notepad. And if I could have Pastor Johnson come and play I Surrender All. While he's singing this song and playing, I want you to ask God what it is that he would have you do with today, with 2017. And then I don't want you just to think about it. I don't want you just to talk about it. We've got to get busy doing it. Pastor shared with us this morning that the time is so close. Everything is ready for the ruler's return. We don't have a lot of time. We have got to be busy being stewards of everything that has been given to us. Everything that's on this earth. Everything that's in this great land of opportunity. We've got to get busy being stewards. Maybe it's you're a prayer intercessor and you are just going to pray in war for people. Maybe it's being an usher, a parking lot greeter. Maybe it's one that will take care of widows and orphans. I don't know. Maybe it's something that has never even been done before. That doesn't mean it cannot be done. God has put inside of every single one of you some kind of gift and talent that is to be used for his glory, for the furthering of his kingdom. He's going to return. I want every one of our family, everyone in our family, to be able to present to him, look what I've done. Look what I've done. I worked hard for your kingdom, God. I did my best. I gave it my all. Here it is, Lord. And for him to say, for every single one, whether you've been given one talent or 10, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So Pastor Johnson, as you sing this song, I want you just to hear from God. He's talking. He's speaking. Every one of you are going to hear his voice. He doesn't hide from us. You're going to hear him speak. This is what I want you to be doing. This is the gift that I gave you. This is what you are entrusted with. This is what you are the steward with.
His presence. surrender all.
It's not my own.
I surrender her all to Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. So as God speaks to you, and it may be longer than these few moments that we've taken, He may speak to you all afternoon. He may speak to you in the evening hour. When you wake up tomorrow morning, He may speak to you. Please do it. Please be a good and faithful steward of what He's entrusted. Pastor pointed out, Pastor Dan already, if you are not using your gifts and talents for the Lord yet, and you want some help and some direction, see Pastor Dan so he can get you plugged in. Maybe it's something, like I said, that's never even been done before. Our desire is that everyone gets to be a good steward, a good trustee of everything that they have. We want to see His kingdom just propelled throughout our this year. Such a revival is going to break forth. It's been spoken so many people already this morning. You're not going to get your seat if you don't come early. It's going to happen, but it's coming from every single one of us, the kingdom within us, and using it to glorify God. Amen. If you're here, if you'll just bow your heads and close your eyes, I don't want to end a service ever without giving opportunity. If you have not yet received the Lord into your life, if you've not yet become a part of the family of God, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. Maybe, listen, it's very real, walking away. Maybe you've walked away and you've backslidden and you're really not serving God. If that's you today or you've never accepted Jesus, I just want to give you a few moments. If you'll raise your hand, we want to pray with you. We want to lead you to the best friend that you will ever have. So we're just going to give a few moments. If you'll raise your hand right now, if you want to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior of your life, just a few moments. If that's you, raise your hand. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now listen, that means you're all part of God's kingdom in this place. That means you all have been entrusted and you're stewards of what's been entrusted to you. I expect there is going to be a supernatural breaking forth of the kingdom of God this week as you go forth to glorify and please your King with your gifts and talents. Stand to your feet. Let's leave singing this song, I Surrender All. If you're a guest in the house today, meet us in the guest reception. God bless you. Go with the honor. Hold your head up. You're the president of the kingdom of God inside of you. You're the CEO. You're important to His kingdom. God bless you.